Today I'm going to teach on that we're supposed to love each other, okay? So, you know you're supposed to love each other, right?
Yes.
Go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he what? If you never loved God, if you never cared about God, he would still care about you, right? He loves you. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And here's the conclusion. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to hate one another. Is that what that says? We should what? So if God were sitting here right now, he would tell you that you should what? You should love each other. You should love each other. This word ought, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, means to owe. Isn't that weird? Does anybody have a car payment?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Should you pay it?
Yes.
What should you do for another believer? You should love them. It means to owe, to be indebted, then to be bound, to be obligated. You are obligated because God so loved you and did so much for you, you are obligated to, guess what? Love each other. That's what he says. This word ought is used in Luke 17. Go there, Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 7. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come down from the field, go and sit down to meat. He says, which of you, you have a servant, he does his job, and then he comes in from his job, and you go, I'm gonna serve you now. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our what?
Duty.
That's that word, oh. It's your duty. You're supposed to. Now, I know you don't have to do anything for God if you don't want, and you'll still be gathered together, and God will love you no matter what, but you're supposed to what? Love each other. You're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to care about each other. Look at Romans 13. It's very important to God that you love the person next to you. Look at that person next to you. Go ahead, look him in the eye. You're supposed to love him. Does that make you nervous? Try it again. Look him right in the eye. Look him right in the eye. No, not me, the person next to you. You two won't look at each other, why not? All right, look at him again. You're supposed to have a deep affection for that person. Go ahead, look at him. Do you have an affection for that person? You're supposed to care about their life. You're supposed, look at him. You're supposed to care about him. No, look him right in the eye. Do you care about him? Even if they're dicks, you're supposed to care about them. Look at them. Even if they took your pencil, even if they took your animal, you're supposed to care about them. Love is to have a great affection for somebody, and it's a decision you make. They don't have to do anything. So is there someone next to you who's never done anything for you ever? You're looking at your sister? You're supposed to love them. You're supposed to have a great affection for them. In Romans 13, verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but what?
Love.
And that can be translated, owe nothing to anyone except to love each other. The one thing that you owe, if you want to try to, like Steve said, if you want to put your 2 pennies in, if you want to use 2 pennies for your dinner, what should you do? That's what God wants you to do. If you want to do something for God because he loved you so much, love each other. Love each other. Another translation would be, for the believer owes no other believer anything but what? The believer doesn't owe another believer anything but to love them. And love is to have a great affection for someone, to be very concerned about their life, to cherish someone. They're important to you. Their welfare is important to you. You care about them, and it's a choice. You have just decided that you care about that person. They haven't motivated you to do it. You just decide that you care about that person. Their life is important to you. You cherish that person. And it's self-sacrificing. You will put yourself out for that person. You will go way out of your way to make sure that person is okay, to take care of that person. And it's never earned. The love of God is never earned. You don't have to earn the love of God. If someone loves you with the love of God, they don't have to earn it from you every day. And most people go through their whole lives just trying to earn some love from somebody, don't they? When they meet a believer, they don't have to earn that love. That believer just loves them and is concerned about them, wants to help them, wants to make sure they're okay because of the love of God, because God loved that believer so much. And many times people never get loved like that until they meet you, or the person next to you, or the person in back of you. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to what? And that's the agapeo love, the love of God. You are taught of God, or God instructed, to love each other. So if you want to do anything because you love God so much and you appreciate the dinner that he took you out for, this huge expensive steak dinner, if you want to do something about that, what should you do? Love each other. Take care of each other. Be concerned about each other. Be kind to each other. You know, look out for each other. And people shouldn't have to earn that. Back in 1 John 4, if you want to go there. 7 7, it says, beloved, let us what?
Love.
That's God talking. Let's love each other. Let's love each other. For love comes from who?
God.
It comes out from God. God invented love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not doesn't know God. Knoweth here is to perceive or obtain a knowledge or insight into. If you don't care about people, guess what? You don't know God. You don't really know who God is. And you know, it's possible for me to sit up here and talk to you about God, but if I don't love you, if I'm not concerned about you, if I don't have an affection for you, I might talk to you about God, but I don't really know him. You understand that? Because that's what it says. He that loveth not, what's it say? Knoweth not God. So if you know God, if you have an insight, if you perceive who God is, you will care about people. You'll have an affection for people. You'll put yourself out for people. You'll go way out of your way, and they don't have to earn it. You understand? If you know God, if you've perceived who God really is, you'll care about people. You'll go way out of your way for people. You'll put yourself out for people, and they don't have to earn that from you. Is that what that says? Does it? He that loveth not knoweth not God. So I could sit here and talk to you about God, but if I don't care about you, do I know God? The only reason I can talk to you is because it's so plain in his word. But if I don't care about you, I don't know him, right? And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that first he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought, it's our duty to what?
Love
one another. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's what? Okay. That's kind of a harsh thing, isn't it? Hate is to have ill will towards someone. Do you have ill will towards anyone? Well, think about it. Don't say it out loud. To have ill will towards someone. To love less, to slight. It says, if a man say, I love God, and has ill will towards his brother, he's what? A liar. So if you have right now ill will towards another believer, don't say you love God. Isn't that interesting? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath what? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother what? So we're supposed to love each other. It's very important to God. Your response to God's love for you and what he's done for you should be to love each other. You love God first and foremost, but we care. We care about each other. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 10. Love hates his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And that means there's no ill will. If you love someone, it's all goodwill. You know the difference? You want the best for them. You don't want anything evil. You'd never do anything evil or deliberately to hurt that person. Now, if you reprove somebody, does that hurt them sometimes? It does, right? But why would you want to reprove them? Because you love them, to help them. But if you just want to hurt people, if you just want to, you know, make someone feel bad, that's not love. That's not love. Look at John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you, what's it say? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How will people know that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? A name tag? What? How much Bible we know? How will people know that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Our love for each other. Our love for each other. That's what's obvious. And you know what you can tell from this verse? That if someone loves someone else, you can see it. It's something that you can see. Dr. Rowe defined the love of God, or agapeo, as the love of God in the renewed mind in what? Manifestation. And you can actually see the love of God. You can actually experience being loved by the love of God. Look at 1 John 4. Have you been loved by the love of God this weekend? It's something you experience. It's something that you can see. It's something that is out there. It's in manifestation. In 1 John 4, verse 11, it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Did I read that before?
Yes.
No man has seen God at any time. Nobody's seen God. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Perfected means it's brought out. It's brought to a full end. It's consummated. It's accomplished. People can experience God's love through you. They can know what it's like to be loved through guess who? And that's what we want to do for each other. We want to love each other like God loves us. And so that people can know what it's like to be cared about. To not have to earn love. To not have to earn someone's concern. To be unconditionally cared about. We want to experience that. And how do we experience that? You loving me, me loving you. That's how he experienced that. Look at Romans 13, 12. It says, The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And in the context here, the armor of light is love. We're to be loving people. And it's the type of thing that you can notice, you can see. You can see when someone is loving. You can experience being loved. Here's some things that you can experience. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long. If you love somebody, you're patient. Has anybody ever been patient with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you experienced some patience? Well, this word means to be patient, long-minded, slow to anger, to be forbearing. And if you love somebody, you're guess what? Patient with them. You're very patient with them. People aren't perfect. You're very patient with them. And you want to be patient with other people. And then it says in the same verse, charity suffereth long and is what? Kind. It's kind. And that means good, gentle. You know what benevolent means? Anybody? What? Doing good things for people. So if you love somebody, what will you do? You'll do cool, kind things for people. You just do wonderful things for people. It means actively beneficent in spite of ingratitude. So we all want to walk in love, don't we? Don't we? So look at that person next to you and decide that you care about them. Here's some things you can do to walk in love. Just a couple things. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of people. Look at 1 John 4. Is there anybody in here that you don't like? Go sit next to him.
Oh, no.
1 John 4, verse 18. When you love, you're afraid of a lot. Is that what that says?
No.
There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you're afraid of what people think of you, for example, can you love them? You can't. You know, what people think of you doesn't matter at all, does it? You are not defined by what people think of you. It seems like in the world, everyone thinks that if they can get everyone to like them, they'll feel okay about themselves. But that's not true. You're not defined by what people think about you. People aren't your mirror, are they? They're not your center of whatever for truth. What defines you? God defines you. Remember the teaching that Tony did? You're defined by what God thinks about you. And if you really want to love somebody, you can't be afraid of what they think about you. Like Jerry said, you can't be afraid of making a fool out of yourself. You can't be afraid of maybe being rejected or something like that. You want to put yourself out there. What matters is what God thinks about you. So you can't care about what people think about you. You'll never walk with God if you care about what people think about you, if that's the opinion that matters, because you have to do some weird things when you walk with God. What God thinks about you, look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. To the praise of the glory of his grace, whereby he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That word accepted means graceful, lovely, and delightful.
Five.
Well, then change it to five. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What God thinks about you is that you are graceful, you're lovely, you're delightful. And in this world, that's who you are. If you walk in this world with the love of God, you are the most delightful person in the world. Does it matter what you look like? Does it matter if you're old or young? In this world, think about this, in this world, you are the most delightful and graceful and wonderful being there is, because you have God in Christ in you. And it doesn't matter what people think about you. When you walk with the love of God and you care about people that no one else cares about, and you're concerned about people that maybe no one else is concerned about, you are the most wonderful person in the world. What you bring is so wonderful to anybody that you come across. And what you bring to each other is so wonderful. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7, but we have this bad personality in earthen vessels. What do you have?
Treasure.
Why do you think God uses treasure? Isn't that an interesting word? Do you think of yourself as a treasure? You're like a treasure on this earth. That's who you are. There's people who have never been loved until they meet, guess who? You. There's people who have had to earn love their whole life. And they're still trying to earn somebody's concern, somebody's love, till they meet, guess who? You're a treasure on this earth. You have an earthen vessel. Some of you have hair, some of you don't. Some of you are old, some of you are young. We're all different, but God says we have what? And so that's what you should think about yourself, that on this earth, you are the treasure. What will people do to find treasure? You have everything that a person wants in life because you have God in Christ in you. Everything that people are looking for in this life, you have God in Christ in you. All the wonderful things that God can do for somebody, all the concern, all the grace, all the healing, all the peace that God can bring to a person's life is in you. You're a treasure on this earth. And so you shouldn't care what people think about you. They don't define you, do they? If you are, you know, look this way or that way or have this many friends, don't let them define you. And don't be afraid of anybody. Because God says you are the treasure. You are what people are looking for. You know, the only reason that people wouldn't recognize what you have to offer is in verse 4. In whom the god of this world hath what?
Blinded.
They've been blinded. And the adversary does a lot of stuff in this world to keep them from you, to keep them from seeing who you are. Because you are the ones who have the ministry of reconciliation. And when they meet you, if they're looking for God, they're home. They're home. Like many of you, when you met a believer, then you were home. You were put back together with God. And some people want that stuff. So you are a treasure on this. You know, people look for a lot of stuff. Everything they're looking for, really, besides a supermodel wife, is treasure, is you. The things that people want out of life, guess who has it? People want to be loved. They want to be cared about. They want some peace. They're tired of being afraid. They're tired of being anxious. They want to have a hope, something to look forward to. They want a family. They want unconditional concern and love. Who's that? The treasure. That's you. So never be concerned about what people think of you. Put yourself out there. You can't love if you're afraid. And a lot of times, like when you're younger, you care too much about what other people think about you. And when you're older, you don't care at all and you don't dress well or take care of yourself very well. Except when you're teaching, and then you dress a little bit, but otherwise. But you young guys, who gives a, who cares? You're a treasure. And to some people, you are life. You reconcile people back together with God. Look at Romans 10. Don't be afraid of what people think about you. That keeps you from really loving people. Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want you to look at your neighbor's feet. Are they that beautiful? I want you to say to yourself, I love those feet. I'm concerned about those feet. I won't kiss those feet. No. It's a figure meaning how beautiful is everything about that person. Now, who says that? God. His opinion counts. Other people's opinions do not count. They don't define you. Even what you think about yourself many times does not define you. God says you are lovely, delightful, graceful. You're a treasure. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel. You're what people are digging around for and looking for. And every part of you is so beautiful. And it is because you bring the gospel of peace. You are the only thing that can make a difference in someone's life. And you have everything that people are looking for. You know, even the people who, you know, get to marry super, you know, why do people want to marry supermodels anyways? I don't know. But, you know, they get the most beautiful girl, the most handsome guy. Is their life complete? They get a bunch of money. Is their life complete? They get a cool house. Is their life complete? They get a cool car, is their life complete? They get the perfect job? What are they looking for? What you have, what you have. And every part of you is beautiful. You're what people need. And so never, ever let yourself be defined by other people and what they think. And never do anything just to get people's attention or, you know, get people's approval or whatever. You don't need it. You want to love people, but Don't let people define you, and never be afraid of what people think of you, even other believers. You know, like Jerry says, you know, believers will see you do weird things and go, that guy's weird. But many times it's what God told you to do, right? And you can't just be trying to get people's good opinion of yourself so you can feel good about yourself. You feel good about yourself because you're beautiful, every part of you, right? John 7, it's another beautiful one. I'm just trying to get across that. You can't be afraid and love people. You can't care what people think and really love them, really care about them. How do you walk in love? Number one, don't be afraid of them. Does it matter what people think about you? Does it matter if you get rejected? Does it matter if their opinion of you isn't the greatest? Nope. You are the most beautiful being on this earth with the gospel of peace. You contain treasure. You're what people are looking for. You have the answers to what people need in this life. If you won the lottery, like say $450 billion, and you gave everybody $1 million, would that help them? Not as much as you can help them with your love and your concern and with the word of God and by telling them how to get born again. Which do you think would help someone more, $1 million or your life? Your life. Your life. The way you love people, the way you care about people. John 7, it's another great picture. I like to read this one. 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, this is a figure too. And out of his belly means out of his whole being. And this is you on this earth. Out of your whole being flows rivers of living water. Isn't that a cool picture? Say that this world is like a desert, right? Which it is. And you're walking through this world. What's coming out of you? The most refreshing, life-giving water, living water. And the picture is that out of you, because you have spirit, because you have Holy Spirit, the power of God, out of you comes the most refreshing, life-giving stuff, because it's God and Christ in you. And this world is a desert, and you are like the one who brings water to everybody. Isn't that a cool picture? If you want to really understand this, don't drink water for 3 days. And then have your favorite person come and give you water. Think about it. How long can you live without water? Wouldn't it be cool if you didn't drink water for 3 straight days? And then you had your best friend come and give you some water. What would that feel like? Anybody ever been really thirsty? Just think about this. You didn't drink water for 3 days, and someone comes and gives you water. What would that do for you? How would that feel? That's you. That's how you feel when you come and love somebody and speak the word to them with the love of God in your heart. The spirit that you have, you are like just the most refreshing being. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Because you have Holy Spirit, you are the most refreshing, the most beautiful human being on this earth. And that's how you should define yourself. You should picture yourself as treasure. You are what people are looking for. And the only reason they wouldn't see it is they've been blinded. But you are what people are looking for. You have the answers. You reconcile people to God, and that's what everybody needs. When they meet you and you care about them and you love them and you speak the word to them, they're home. And some of you know, have experienced that, haven't you? They are home. So don't be afraid. Don't let people define you. Don't be afraid of what people think about you. All right? Another thing you can do to walk in love is to get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of yourself. Here's a little secret that I bet a lot of you haven't thought about. You're not the only one with problems. I heard something from a really wise woman this week, and it said, it was like, I might have a lot of problems, but that doesn't mean I'm not doing good. Is that proper grammar? Look at Philippians 4. If you want to walk in love, quit thinking about yourself all the time. Do you know that other people have problems too? Do you?
Yes.
How much of the last month have you spent thinking about your own problems? They're pretty big, aren't they? They're much more important than other people's problems, aren't they? You know why that is? Well, they're your problems. But if you want to walk in love, pretend other people might have problems too. You know, try to help other people with their problems, right? Next time you think about your big problems, maybe think maybe someone else has a big problem too, and maybe you should try to help that person and try to not just think about your own problems all the time. In Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other what? Who says that? And that's a reproof epistle. Other people should be more important to you than yourself. And other people have problems besides you. And it's really not really that great to sit around and think about all the problems that you have. That's called selfishness. Be concerned about other people. If you want to walk in love, be concerned about other people. I want you to look at each other again and think, do they have a problem? They do. Everybody has problems, right? And you should be, well, look at them really, and look at them. Do they need your help? Maybe they do. It's kind of like, we have a greeting called, how are you doing? But then, do you ever listen to the answer? When we say hello, we go, how you doing? And the person goes, fine. But they might go, fine. Do you ever look at them?
Yeah.
And think, what can I do for that person? Because everybody's going to go, fine. Or maybe you should look again, right? You care about that person. You're interested in that person. Maybe they're not fine. And most people I know could use some help. And so get your eyes off of yourself. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What's so hard to understand? Quit just thinking about yourself. Think about other people. Get out of thinking about yourself. If you want to walk in love in a way that people can experience God's love, through your life, quit thinking about yourself. Yeah, you have big problems. Guess what? Other people do too. Other people could use some help. You spend all your time thinking about yourself. What help are you to anyone else? Help other people. And many times when you go out of your way to help other people, your problems don't seem so big, do they? That's just the way it works. 1 Corinthians 13. I have bigger problems because I'm a believer. My problems are bigger. No, they're not. Get your mind off yourself. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Talking about the love of God. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh always her own. So if you want to love with the love of God, you're always looking out for number one. Yeah, and number one is everybody else. Make everybody else number one, right? God first, what? I am willing to be third. Put other people above yourself. That's the love of God. It's self-sacrificing. You might have to miss your favorite, well, you don't have to miss anything anymore, do you? Us old people had to watch TV shows at a certain time. But nowadays, you can watch TV, what? Whenever you want, right? So get your eyes off yourself. You know, I know you have big problems. You're a human being, but other people have big problems too, and they need your help, and they need your concern. And you're not gonna find out about them by going, how are you doing, and walking by, you know? Another thing you can do is take some time with people. Take some time. They're worth your greeting, but are they worth your time? Because time is very precious on this earth, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
Give some time to people. Take your time. Take some time with somebody. Get to know them, talk to them, find out how they're doing, you know? Look at John 1. Take some time for people. Don't just sit in your house stewing about yourself or in your car or in your moped or whatever you wherever you go. Where do people sit and think about themselves? The bathroom. Well, then I suggest crossword puzzles. John 1, 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You know, John goes, There's the Lamb of God. Two disciples heard that, and they start following Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What do you want? What are you looking for? Isn't that cool? They're fine. He goes, What are you looking for? What seek you? And they say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted master, where do you live? And he said, Go away. I teach between the hours of 7 and 8 in the synagogue. Right? They go, Where do you live? He said to them, Come on over. Isn't that cool? Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt. He took him in. Wouldn't that be so cool? You see Jesus Christ walking by and you start following like a stalker. And he goes, What do you want? And he goes, Where do you live? Come on in. Come over and see. Isn't that cool? And they came and saw where he lived and abode with him what? Can you imagine hanging out with Jesus in his house that day? Or what's the 10th hour? 4 o'clock? What is it? 4 p.m. Yeah, so it was 4 o'clock. He just spent time with them. Isn't that cool? Doesn't say what they did, but they spent the day with him from 4 on, maybe till dark, I don't know, maybe a couple hours, maybe longer, but he just spent time with them. And if you love people, sometimes you just give up all your time. You give them your time, and you just do what you can for them. And many times you can't get to the root of something unless you take time. You take time for people. That's why it's so nice, like Jerry's the one who thought up the deal of, I assume, the half an hour break. Usually breaks are how long? 10 minutes. But look at the time you have to talk to someone. Isn't that wonderful? And like at this break, just talk to somebody. And that's the next thing. Talk to people. If you want to walk with the love of God, just talk to people, right? Look at James 1. Spend time with people and talk to them. What is the mouth for? Well, one thing is to talk, right? And when you talk, when someone talks, you can find out stuff about them, can't you? So you love this person, right? You decided to walk in the love of God. You're concerned about them. You're concerned about their welfare. You want them to be okay. You want them to have a wonderful life. And many times you can't find out about them unless you take a little time with them and guess what? Really talk to them. Not just how are you fine, but really, how are you? How's it going? What about this? Jerry's really good at this too. I've seen him do it all the time in the breaks, you know? What about this? What about that? Like pretend you're interested. Pretend you're interested in someone's life, okay? Like, not just like, how are you? I'm fine. Please don't look at me any closer. I'm afraid of what you think of me. No. Look at James 1. This is a great verse. So you can practice this at lunch. Talk to people. Like, you know how sometimes you sit with only the people that you know really well? Try sitting with someone you don't know and talking to them. Like, where are you from? Like, what's your problem? Well, look at this, James 1. You understand what I'm saying there? Like, you wouldn't say that right away, would you? You go, where are you from? Like, how's it going? Or do you like your job? Or Steve's really good at this too. Like, you know, and after a while, you get to learn about that person. A person will open their heart to you. And there's nothing more beautiful than a believer's heart when they will open it to you. But it takes, guess what? Time. And, like in James 1, are you there? I mean, not in the room. Are you at James 1? 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, okay, start paying attention now, okay? Let every man be swift to what?
Hear.
Slow to what?
Speak.
And slow to wrath. When you're spending time with someone, talking to them, God says you should be swift to what?
Hear.
Listen to them. What are they saying? You have to be swift to hear. You have to listen to that person, and you have to listen to God when you're walking in the love of God. And your desire is to help somebody, and you care about their welfare, and you're looking for things that you can do for them to help them. You have to be swift to what?
Hear.
Listen to the person, what they're saying. Listen to who? Listen to God. With the intent of helping that person. We're not sparring with each other when we communicate with each other. We're not just trying to impress each other. We're not just trying to keep people away from our insides. We want to know about each other because we're concerned about each other. We want to know if we can do anything for that person. We want to know if we can say something that would really help them, build them up and edify them. And so you what? Listen. Listen. Try that at lunch. You know, talking to someone, finding out about them, and by listening to what they say. Ask Nick about hitchhiking, right? That's really, it's cool. And what do you learn? Everything like that. Ask people about stuff. Find out about it. You know what? If you do that, people get tricked into thinking you care about them. And then ask for a loan. Ask for something else cool like that, right? The idea is you want to trick people into thinking you care. Okay? No, you what? You care. You look that person in the eye and you want to know them. You're willing to spend time with them. You want to know about what's going on with them. And sometimes that takes time and what? Listening. Listening. Listen. Spend time with people. Talk to them. See what's going on. Find out about them. Listen to what they have to say. Be swift to hear, slow to what? Speak. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs about being a quick answer, isn't there? Right? You're not supposed to answer a matter before you what?
Hear.
Now, sometimes you know what's going on. You get revelation, stuff like that. But listen. Listen. And slow to speak. And then, if you really want to help someone, you're concerned about them, be careful what you say. Words are really important. Go to Ephesians 4. We're talking about intent here. You want to help someone. You want to bless someone. You can't be afraid of them if you want to love them with the love of God. You can't care about what they think about you. Sometimes you do have to reprove people because, you know, they'll get in trouble if you don't. You can't care if they're going to be mad at you or not, right? You're not trying to hurt them. And you got to take some time. Take some time with people. You got to get your mind off yourself. Take your mind off yourself. You're not the only one with problems. And you got to talk to people sometimes, right? And you got to listen to them. And then as you're talking, you're thinking the whole time, in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. You're actually thinking, can I say something that will edify this person? This verse, it says, that which is good to the use of edifying. Use means it's a need. People need to be edified. So while you're like talking to people, you're thinking, what can I say to build this person up? You know? Not what can I say to impress this person? What can I say to get this person to think I'm cool? Because I'm pretty sure I'm not. What can I do to build this person up? And that's what you're thinking. Or what can I do to minister grace? And that just means, you know, grace is that you love that person, you think kindly about that person, you're inclined toward that person. What can I do to let them know that I really care about them? That's what you're thinking. Not like, how do I impress them or this, that, and the other thing. What can I say that will build them up? What can I say that will edify them? What can I say that will minister grace to them? as you're talking to them. And you're careful, because everybody can be broken, can't they? We're all very fragile. And one of the best ways to break people is with words, right? People who know the Bible really well, someone said this can just tear a person's life apart with that kind of stuff. And so you're careful with your words. And you try to think, what can I say that would really bless that person? And you're also listening to God, like, what can I do? What can I do for that person? And we're like that with each other, and we're like that out in the world, you know? We care about, like, Chrissy, like, works at the hotel, and she's kind to all those people. They all love her. I noticed that about you, Chrissy. But she knows their names. She's really kind to all of those people. And she's a breath of fresh air, that hotel, because she loves them with, guess what? And in this world, you're just a breath of fresh air because you love people. You're concerned about people. You care about people. You might even take time with them. You might even listen to them a little bit. You might even find out they have a problem and you can help them with it. You might even be able to show them how to get born again and get eternal life and come back home with God. God wants us to walk with the love of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. I like that illustration of Steve getting this huge dinner. Like, what's the coolest place in Atlanta to eat? Hannah would know. What's that expensive place you used to work for? The restaurant Eugene? What would 4 steak dinners cost?
A lot.
Well, let's say you went to Manhattan. You went to Manhattan, and 4 steak dinners would be like, what, $2,000 at some places, right? And like Steve, you have 2 pennies. And you want to pay for the dinner, but there's no way you could pay for that dinner. You know what you can do instead? Love people. Love people. You can't pay God back for what he's done for you, but he wants you to what? In return, guess what? Love each other. Love each other. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." And God says this, the greatest of these is, the biggest, the greatest is what? So is it important to God? You have faith, hope, the love of God, which is the greatest? So God says, that's what God says. So your response to all that God has done for you, God would like for you to love each other. Be concerned about each other, care about each other, and it shouldn't have to be earned. If I have to earn your love, you don't love me with the love of God, if I have to earn it every day. And some of you guys should quit trying to earn people's love, because we love you unconditionally. We're supposed to. That's our duty. We don't want to, but we do. Colossians 3. Colossians 3:12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And then on top of that, "and above all these things, put on" what?
Charity.
Above all those things, put it on. You decide that you care about your fellow believers and about unbelievers, people that you're around. You decide that you really care, that you have an affection for those people, and that you're concerned about their welfare, and that you'll go way out of your way to help them. And you know, that's what keeps us all together. Put on charity, which is the what? That's what keeps us together. That's the glue that keeps us as a body together, that love, our concern for each other. Father, thank you so much for everybody in this room, and thank you for loving us so much and taking care of us as wonderfully as you have. And thank you that you can work in all of us to help each other and help deliver each other and heal each other. Thanks for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.